today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
They don't have the energy to, like, spread the knees out so it catches the suit
dexterity.
So, and by the way, he's not exactly, you know, and you can guarantee he's not wearing modern clothing.
Maybe he lost a lot of weight.
You know, he's seriously, he's wearing pants that,
camel
hair
pants.
That Emmett Kelly would wear.
Would you like two on the floor? And she says, I don't know. There's lots of seats up there. And I say, then go up there because you're blocking everything.
What's the difference between you and I and Rob?
Mm-hmm.
He dreams of a fur coat.
Of a fur, big, fluffy fur coat.
Yes, like
with big, fluffy arms and a big collar. And then he's got a pennant that says Yale.
No. Actually, the pennant says the past.
The past.
Because that's what I remember.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This episode of the Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by the TMOS Holiday Shopping Center. It's the most important way to support the Mike O'Mara Show, especially during the holidays. The next time you need to buy that special gift from Target.com, Walmart.com, or Macy's.com, make sure you click the shopping banner on our website. Then shop like you normally would. It's that simple. And happy holidays from everybody at the Mike O'Mara Show.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeOMaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
So periodically on this broadcast, we have some minor issues that we have to resolve.
Yes.
And it requires a lot of, rebooting and doing this and doing that. And I apologize to both Oscar and Rob because as I was at the beginning of doing that today, I was very, very much in a methodical kind of serious mindset to just fix the problems. And you two, I swear to God, I thought you'd done 12 lines of blow before we got set. And I think I have officially now, by based on the look of both of you, I sucked the energy out of both of you today.
No, far from it.
I certainly did out of Rob because Rob was even doing shtick on Tex.
Oh.
When I texted him and I said, I think our router might be toast. And he said, I hate toast. So he was still.
Well, you know,
or what it might be with me and Rob now, and where we've evolved. You get happy, Rob, but I get hey.
No, it's not
might
that
be
at all.
I'm not sure. We reined it in a little bit
when you said that you were connecting and you actually turned down the feed from our studio.
Yes.
I had a mental sort of revelation that
you said you hated us.
That. Yeah, there was that.
Did he say that?
No,
did he say that?
No, you said to
you
us
said that.
That you hated our manic energy and you had to
turn
us off.
I didn't say that you... Can you rephrase that properly, Mr. Conjure?
You said, I don't know why
I
work
hated
with you.
Well, you did. I actually have
you
taped
had too
it.
Much energy.
I taped it. I was what? So offended that what you... Listen
all right,
to
let
this.
Me hear it.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is not the right
there
time.
There we go. I knew he was doing that. That time, I know. I've already got it now. I know that's going to happen.
19 days.
He's getting it up front because he doesn't want me to steal it again.
Oh, yeah. Steal your thunder.
I get that.
Only got 19 more, Mike.
19 more.
Christmas is coming.
I'm so fleeting.
Have you done your Christmas shopping? Only 19 days left.
Only 19 drinks left.
So what I'm hearing is I'm sitting there, I said, I've contacted the provider. I'm making sure that our server is blah, blah, blah. I'm doing all this technical stuff. In the background, what I'm hearing is the equivalent of the manic Charlie Brown teacher going, bah, 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 bah. And I don't think in the time I have done this broadcast that I actually had to turn you two down. I was turning you two down because
that's why we reined it in. I don't want this to be an unhappy place for you. You didn't steal my joy. I just didn't want to.
We stopped talking.
Conflict with your joy.
I said to Rob off air when we were talking and you had disconnected. I said, when he gets back on, let's stop talking because he hates us.
Right.
Yeah. And so,
I don't hate you.
There is a modicum of talking
allowed. I like
allowed.
To save it all. I like to save it all for right here. Sometimes
we were excited to go.
Save the juice.
Some modicum
save the
of professionalism.
Juice.
We were excited to go. Oscar came in. He wanted to play Christmas music. You know, I love Christmas music. So we're playing that. We're debating.
Are you feeling better today? Are you feeling a little better after your death grip in your throat?
Oh,
and
yeah.
Your
I'm back,
lozenges
baby.
And all
Am
that.
I back?
Okay, that's a great feeling. You feel like you're. I'm not.
I feel young again.
I feel like crap. I feel like something's
what
wrong
are your,
with my tummy.
What are your symptoms? Oh, tummy.
Lack of appetite.
Tummy troubles. Tummy time.
Lack of like cancer.
Oh,
that's what it is today.
Mike, I'm so sorry you have cancer. Cancer is horrible.
I've got a physical today, so I'll let
you
know
right away.
He'll
spot the cancer.
Yeah, he'll spot it. Good guy.
Hey, doctor, but anyway, can you look at my cancer?
Are these moles look like a sea?
Oh, here we go. But we discovered during the opening as we were fixing everything was that Rob Spiewak likes fur coats.
I love fur coats.
Okay.
I hate the fact that they are so, you know, politically incorrect right now, and the fact that they're so cruel to animals has come to the forefront. I love the look. Like, if you look back to the 1930s.
Did you hear the concern in his voice about that? You know?
It's not
and
political.
The fact that they kill a few, that they do a little anal electrocution.
It's not political.
You know what I mean? It really, is it anything worse than eating a turkey or frying
where
a chicken?
Where would you wear a fur coat in Northern Virginia?
On my body!
Yeah, but I mean, where would you wear it to?
You don't dress up enough. You're not going to put it over your sweatshirt.
No, you're right. You're right. But it would be great. Like, for example, how great are the images of, like, say, the great man who founded the Washington Redskins, George Preston Marshall, at the stadium in his big fur coat? Wouldn't that be, isn't that a
how
great look?
How many friggin' years ago are you going
that's
back for that?
That's only 80 years, 80 or 90.
I thought you were going to say John Gotti.
Let's say, how great would it be to sit in the rumble seat with Rudy Valli and his big megaphone, and it's like,
it's a great look. And you know, my favorite coat.
No, hold on a second. I don't think it's necessarily for a guy a great look. I think a woman for years.
Well, I love a woman in a fur coat. I think it's marvelous.
Okay, calm down. Calm down. I understand.
See,
that.
He hates
I understand.
May I set the table, please? Yesterday, we had the service right up the street here at the National Cathedral for 41.
George H. Walker Bush.
A great time to be in D.C. It's a good time for the country. It's a good time for everybody. We'll talk about that this week on Political Persuasions. I think it's really put me in a great frame of mind. It really has. Just watching all the adulting going on.
We are privy, because we're so close to the National Cathedral, to see, for lack of a better word, it's a lot of people watching.
Yeah, pageantry. So, we could see the Wisconsin Avenue street closure. We could see it from our office.
And
there are probably people coming into D.C. that haven't been here in a very long time.
And parking is a nightmare, like in any other city. So most people were smart and parked at the garage down here and not at the National Cathedral. And I'm sure for security reasons as well.
Now, everybody, of course, that's in that cathedral, you make it sound like they're going to a Caps game. No, everybody that's in that cathedral is there by invitation only.
Yes. So,
but it's a large number of people. You know, you see the presidents and you see the Bush family, but it's a massive cathedral with, you know, connections, and the Bush family has so many that there are tons of people
the
there.
The closest garage to that cathedral is around our block.
That's true.
Yep. I know exactly the garage you're talking about.
It gets sort of residential, actually, when you get that far up into Georgetown.
So what we got to see is, once the ceremony was or the service was over, is people walking back to their cars.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned to Mike, as I was racing to the University of Maryland, I'm driving up the street. The street closures had just opened up, and I had never seen that many fur coats in one place.
Yeah. Was it chilly in D.C. yesterday?
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm. Now
it looked chilly. It looked a little chilly. It's chilly down here. It's 44 degrees down here this morning. So when it's this cold down here, it's got to be really cold out there.
I did not see men wearing fur coats, but women were wearing fur coats.
Because Rob wasn't invited to the funeral.
Yes.
I would not wear
if
a fur
Rob
coat
had been invited,
to the funeral. No.
And I know the kind of fur coat you want. You want the big.
Yes.
Like you want the big 1920s rah, rah, rah.
Yes.
Coon skin coat is what you want.
But
right?
On a lady, you want to see something more.
Chinchilla.
Yes. Perhaps a mink, a tasteful mink, maybe a
waist. But unfortunately, that ship has sailed. I mean, you don't see fur like you used to.
No.
And really, you still would probably see it in cities that have consistently colder temperatures than the nation's capital. I just don't think you see it around. But you saw a lot of them here yesterday?
Saw a lot of furs, and I sat there and I said, well, I'm no activist. And I'm not going to go up there with a bucket of paint.
Yeah, you didn't have time for throwing paint. You were going to be a fellow.
Yeah,
is the fur industry doing? I mean, is it still a thing?
Pony, call Dicker and Dicker of Beverly Hills and see how business
furry
is.
Furry convention on the mark.
It's a furry. It's always furries with you. I'm just curious whether, you know, I guess they have some market for it, but it's a pretty horrible way of getting
clothing. I did not
clothing.
See any young, I would young attendees, or everybody look like they're
probably
50
was
plus,
in their
80s.
You know, at least 50
at
plus.
At least 50
probably.
Plus.
Question,
yes.
How do you feel about people that would buy, say, a vintage fur coat? Because
it had already been made and would not
be
an example.
Do you want a fur coat for Christmas? Is that what you want?
No,
do you
I'm
want,
just, I, it why fascinates
are you so,
me. Because
you're so fascinated
because
with,
growing
with fur.
Up,
and mink, what is your size in mink?
I need to
you
go
know
to the
what?
Big and
Seriously,
fat mink
you'd have to,
store.
You'd have to, he'd have to buy his own ranch.
You'd have to pre-order that because the chinchillas have not furred yet.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, you know, you can hear them actually. You know, if Rob says, "I'd like a chinchilla," you hear they're all running into, they're running back into the woods. They're gnawing through the wire cages.
Meanwhile, the handlers are feeding them mashed potatoes and gravy, saying, "Grow, yes.
Come
grow,
on now. Stretch that." Nobody likes a skinny chinchilla.
But I'm curious because growing up, it was the ultimate sign of opulence. I mean, it was fancy. You had a mink coat, and that sort of it holds a certain cachet.
I love
to me.
When you wax expert on like the past.
Were you
like
did, like you did were you there? Live like in opulence really at one
there.
Point?
Well, I mean, you. I was there. I was there in the 1970s when mink coats were a big deal.
What do you mean? I was there. I'm older. I'm 10 years older than you are. I was there.
But you didn't.
I don't
you
ever
didn't...
remember mink coats being a really big deal.
Well, I mean, they were not a big deal in, say, my family because we didn't have
you know
the money to have them.
You know what my mom wore? My mom wore a camel hair coat.
Beautiful.
Have
I
you
love
ever
those.
Heard of a camel hair coat? Of course you have. Would you like to explain to everybody what
camel
a camel hair
coat
is?
Camel hair is not actually made of camel's hair, Oscar. It is actually.
How old are you now, just out of curiosity?
I am 47 going on 80.
So. 40. He's 47, and I'd venture to say there are probably very few 47-year-olds that might remember a camel hair coat, which
I think
was my mom's. Fur. That's
I think
what
it's actually made of. It's made of a dense wool, mm-hmm. and, but it's a tightly woven wool, and it is a light brown, almost like a cafe au lait
Ooh,
color.
Cafe au lait.
And hers was gray,
but it's a classic coat.
Yes.
And oftentimes,
and they wore it like in the '40s. You know, you see like Betty Grable with the big
shoulder pads,
on it
and sometimes
like
they
that.
Would be not even a button; they would have a tie, like they would just have a you know
like
a belt.
Marvelous you, Mrs. Maisel.
Yeah, Maisel.
Do you know what
one.
I also remember playing with when I was a young boy, and I would go down to my auntie's house down in New Haven, Connecticut.
What's that?
Do you know what I remember playing with? They had, I don't know what they are. They wrap them around their necks.
Yes.
And they had the head of the animal. A stole.
It's called a stole.
What they're called.
Because a lot of times a classic stole would actually have like the legs still on it.
Yes,
and they would
have the legs on it. I played with it like it was a dead animal.
And what you would do, Oscar, is they would build some sort of clip into the animal's mouth. And when they
so
wrapped
that you could
it,
clip it around
it would
their
stay,
necks.
And it looked like it was
oh,
biting
savage.
Itself. I remember when we were going through.
Very savage. That's yeah. We're not far away from that. It's certainly my. I had family members that wore them.
My grandmother, when she passed, and we had to go through her stuff. She had stuff from her mother and grandmother, and there was a
That's
stole.
That's where they would. They would
with
take
a missing
a dead
leg.
Animal. Was it a fox?
See, it could be a fox.
Did
or
you play
like a weasel or something like that? I don't
think
or maybe
it
a sugar glider.
Probably not. A sugar glider would be a very tiny.
That's
stole.
Yeah, stretch, yeah, stretch her out.
It'd be more of a.
But
a
all
neck.
I remember is Broach. They had it was it was it had the tail. It yeah. had the little hands on. It was horrible.
Paws.
Horrible what they did
not
back in
hands,
that, those
really.
Days.
Mostly paws.
What?
Not really hands as much as paws.
Paws.
Yeah.
The whole lifeless, mom. Dead, hanging paws that were that appeared to be belong to the animal.
Although they skinned and preserved the animal. I mean, it's real.
They skinned and preserved its head.
Yeah.
If they have fake fur, mm-hmm. can you tell the difference?
No, you couldn't. You could tell these were real.
Yeah.
Because it did have little like marble eyes in it. You know, they put little fake beady
glass
eyes.
Yeah.
But we played with them because it was like, you know, when you're a little kid, you get this out of the closet with your cousins and you go,
also, was it the thing when you would go to an older relative's house and there was absolutely nothing to do? And so you had, there was not like they had games or toys.
It was like being in a dark museum with no lights on, where the furniture was all from the 1700s. It was terrible.
We got
it. The only thing we had two things to play with. We had the dead animals in the closet, and we had the
chairlift.
We had the stair lift.
Oh, the chairlift.
Where,
yeah,
where you the chairlift. And my mom would get so mad at me because we wouldn't be in that house for 7 seconds,
and you'd be on it,
and I would be at the stair, and you'd hear. It's like Mike. You want to say hi to your relatives before you start playing with the stair lift.
You know what's great is towards the end of my stepfather Dave's life, they had one installed at their house. And now he's passed, of course. But my mom now has the house with the chairlift. And it's something she will
Very
offer
cool.
to visitors. Do you want to ride the chairlift?
Would you use it just for convenience to get up on the second floor?
I've never used it because I might just have exceeded the limit because I read the manual.
You're too big for it.
But I do know this is that my mom habitually uses it to move boxes. boxes and dog food up and down
Smart.
The steps.
Smart
dog food. Why not?
She buys a bag of dog food and sends it up.
Why take the risk?
It's so great.
Very cool. That was a very cool. I'm trying to think if there was anything else that was cool. There was one thing that was cool.
Okay.
And I forgot the name of the car, but they didn't, you know, they were elderly.
Yes.
When I was a child. So
is this
these
the ones
that
made that, the bitters fortune?
Well, yeah. Yeah. They'd be attached to that.
Okay.
And they raised my father because his mother died young and his father died young. So these were the unmarried aunties that we went to see. Lila, Regina, and Anna before me. That she died like when I was a baby.
Uh-huh.
And then so it was Aunt Lila and Aunt Regina, and they were mostly like bedridden for my teen years and stuff like that. But they had a car because they used to drive. And in the back, they had a silver Oldsmobile. Like a 1957 silver, I think they called it like our family called it like the Silver Fox, and my cousin Teddy got it.
Oh,
Teddy got it when they
Teddy
got it.
Teddy gets everything.
Yeah. Teddy brought it up to Maine and would tear around the roads up in Maine with that thing. It was the fur with the heads on it, and it was the chairlift that went up in the in the middle of downtown New Haven where he was.
They had
raised.
A McDonald's there as well.
They didn't have a McDonald's.
No.
They had a McDonald's in Middletown.
They
used to
stop at
probably half an hour away from New Haven. But then when they built that McDonald's, that was the only thing that my parents would use to get me in the car. It's just like, we're going to go see theirs. No, I don't want to go see the aunts. We'll stop at McDonald's. And I'd be like, you're going to stop at McDonald's today on our way to see the aunts? Yes. And I'd be in the car. I'd get in the back of the car. Really
Horny Bob Spiewak's mother, named Meemom, had the least entertaining home in the world for a child. And here were the fun things at her house were this. An antique coffee grinder that you could crank. That was it. There was an hourglass that literally, I still have it. This I got when she passed, that would be an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd turn it and you'd watch it for an hour. That's what we had. But the one time we got in trouble, me and my cousin Wes found out she had a humidifier. It was probably about the size of like an old, like a little buffet.
Okay.
You know, like about maybe 2 feet tall, 2 feet long. We found
everything's food with you.
Aluminum.
No, it was metal. It was plastic.
Metal. Okay.
It was plastic to look like wood.
Okay.
But it had a grate on the top. And Wes and I figured out if you dropped pretzel rods in it to water, they would get big because of the warm water. So it was like just the right temperature to make the pretzel rods bulge out. And so they noticed that me and Wes had been
quiet.
Did
the house start smelling like
no, but
pretzels?
Didn't smell. But they said, the kids have been quiet for a long time. And they go, and they find it's just me and Wes were like maybe 3 and 5 dropping pretzel rods.
It's ruining the machine.
Did you tank it? Did you ruin the humidifier?
I think it might have been rescued, but I just remember how great it was that they were tripling in size.
My father still has a gazelle and a cheetah skin in the basement.
Is that from his world travels?
Yes, they were gifted to him. So.
I would love to turn that into a coat.
Really?
Sure. I'd look great in that.
The gazelle is more like a...
There isn't a gazelle on the planet that would even fit your forearm.
Yeah, more like a fanny pack on you.
Okay, well, maybe it could be a stole.
A stole, a lovely stole.
You have to preserve them, though, because I think the cheetah is rotting.
Well, if you remember coming to America, remember how they wear... Like the lion skin over their shoulder. It's the same damn thing.
Sure.
We did it here.
That's a movie. This is real life.
Yeah, I know, but they did that in the... If you went back and you looked at historical pictures of Africa, I'm sure you would see kings and queens that would wear the animals on their shoulder. And we did the same thing in this country, only the women would wear the stoles.
Yeah.
It's very, very cool.
Box.
It's very neat. Very, very neat.
Do you have a camel hair coat?
No.
No.
What's the nicest coat you've ever had? I know what mine is.
The nicest coat that I've ever had? They're all the same. They're like a wool coat. I mean, I've had nice jackets.
Yeah.
I've had a nice leather motorcycle jacket.
Yeah, so leather jacket as well. I had, but it's the
leather jacket.
The smooth leather instead of the...
Not like a distressed leather.
Yes.
Not like a fighter pilot jacket.
And I remember when my mom bought it for me. She said, if you lose this, I'll kill you. It was for a Christmas present.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mom!
You had a long coat?
No. This was a leather jacket.
A leather jacket. Leather jacket. I had one that was really kind of a lightweight leather jacket. Mm-hmm. It was amazing leather, and it lasted for a very, very... You think of leather for guys as being a heavy kind of jacket. This was a very, very lovely leather jacket. Mm-hmm. We're talking about coats.
Well, I want to get to, I guess, what the difference between you and I and Rob.
Mm-hmm.
He dreams of a fur coat.
Of a fur, a big, fluffy fur coat.
Yes, like
with
drive.
Big, fluffy arms and a big collar. And then he's wearing, and he's got a pennant that says Yale.
No. Actually, the pennant says the past.
The past.
Because that's what I root for.
That's it. Start the damn show. We're fine.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomaraShow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
I'm so starving. What's good to eat here at the Kentucky Fried Chicken? What do you have that's new? Oh, well, you know what? Let me tell you. Our mashed potatoes are awesome. Those are really good. And our corn is really sweet and crunchy. Oh, we have like these popcorn chicken things. They're breaded. They're really crunchy. And oh, if you get the mashed potatoes, you got to get the gravy. It's really tangy. That is great. Okay, stop talking right there. Can you pile all of those food items into a single bowl so that I can eat it with a spoon like I'm a death row prisoner on suicide watch and I just have my lunch that way? Yes, we can do that. We can also arrange those separately on a plate like you're an adult with dignity and self-respect. You don't have to... The KFC Famous Bowls, top-selling item in the company's history. America has spoken. Pile my food in a bowl. I don't care. You know what? If you could pile my dinner into a blender and liquefy it and then load it into a caulking gun and shoot it directly into my femoral artery, even better. But until you invent a lunch gun, I would like a failure pile in a sadness bowl. That is what I want. Please.
Sweet and sour chicken.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana.
And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
We are live from the Podcast Village Studios in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. The Mike O'Mara Show, or TMOS to our friends, is a worldwide podcast and radio show with a family of listeners who are unrivaled in their love and support for their program. If you're a first-timer, sit back, relax, and prepare to be entertained. And for our longtime friends, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for spreading the word every day about TMOS from Burlington, Vermont to Woodland, California, from Baltimore, Maryland to Eugene, Oregon, from Belfast to the Philippines. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now and brought to you by 23andMe. Got it for Carla. She did it two nights ago. She sent it off. She's going to be getting all of her DNA information back. Listen up. This DNA news is for you. It's a Christmas miracle. Now through December 25th, all 23andMe DNA kits are on sale. 23andMe helps you understand what your DNA can tell you about your family story. It's named for the 23 pairs of chromosomes that make up our DNA. It's easy to do. Just spit into the tube provided in your 23andMe kit, register your sample to your personal 23andMe account, and in a few weeks, you receive your personalized online reports. We've all done it with 23andMe's Ancestry Composition Report. You can explore where your DNA is from. Oscar did it the other day. We had Rob do it.
Yes, I've
done
I love it.
It's great. 150-plus regions worldwide. It'll tell you where you're from. Discover why you hate certain things like cilantro.
Yes.
Or you get bitten by mosquitoes more often. Now through December 25th, get 30% off any 23andMe DNA kit. Order yours at 23andMe.com/TMOS. That's 23andMe.com/TMOS. This Christmas, give the gift of your family story again. That's 23andMe.com/TMOS. And we thank you.
I can't wait for the Christmas get-together to tell the family all the stuff I found out.
Oh, yeah.
So it really was a nice moment in our nation's capital. I last night actually went to C-SPAN, and without any talking heads whatsoever, I watched it all the way from the president's casket being taken from the Capitol all the way to the end of the service and watch them. I'm fascinated by that, maybe because of my friendship with Colonel Colburn, and he directed the president's own marching band, not marching band, the president's own orchestra, the band, and they were featured prominently yesterday. And just watching the way we do that, I know the Brits have a reputation for pomp and circumstances, but I'll tell you something. You would be hard-pressed to find a more dignified, pride-inducing ceremony in the United States than the funeral of a former president. I thought it was absolutely riveting.
And I thought it also it was intrinsically American, because when you watch something like, say, a royal wedding, which is, you know, for a pomp and circumstance, something to compare it to, that feels to me very fairy tale like and very something that, you know, that's their culture. It's fascinating to watch, but that's their culture.
Right.
But when I watch something like we watched yesterday, it really sort of underscored the Americanness of it. And, you know, even with the awkward faces, to see five living presidents in a room together is awe-inspiring.
It was very, very cool. One of them looking down and drumming.
Yeah.
With his fingers.
He's a very busy man.
Sorry,
he has places to go.
You know, look, I know everybody's dancing around it, but I'm going to say there are a couple of times when they all looked engaged and he didn't look like he didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
I mean, he really kind of had that look where he's kind of looking down, not reading along with the stuff. You know, come on, play along
at
a
least
little bit.
Play along.
Play along a little bit.
And in a way, isn't that a little bit American, too, the way he was acting? It was just.
Do you think it would be presumptuous of me to call John Meacham, the presidential historian, and get him to do my eulogy? That is like the greatest eulogy I've ever. That was just so beautifully delivered. You can tell he's probably done it a million times.
Yeah.
It really was. That was my favorite part. I like that.
What you need to do, Mike, is at this point to plan ahead, you need to appoint an official Mike O'Mara historian.
Yes.
And then that person can do the eulogy for
you. All right. If you, and this is a joke, by the way. It's not a joke. This is something for just people who watched the funeral, the entire funeral, especially the musical portion. My question is, when did Rob Ford develop that incredible singing voice?
I walked in on that yesterday.
I thought he'd have a baritone. He's a tenor and he sings like an angel.
I didn't see that part.
You'll see it. It's great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He's fantastic.
What's the guy's name?
Ronan something. He's an Irish tenor.
When I actually came into the room with the television on when he was singing, and it was a striking image on the tube. And I said to Pony,
"Oh, Danny boy,"
I said, "What's that guy doing singing?" Because he was really singing his ass off.
I'm seeing. Let me see if I've got his name.
Yeah. Hold on. You said, "Hey, you know who's in that box?"
Stop it! How dare you? That's a private conversation.
Ronan Tynan.
Oh, yeah.
Ronan Tynan is the guy's name.
And he's a doppelganger for Rob Ford.
He was just absolutely marvelous.
But
if you bought,
is older and a little wider. How dare you?
But if you were to go back and listen to the Mike O'Mara Show, Having a Merry Christmas album, you'll find that Rob Ford's cut, he does sing higher than you would think when Rob Ford sings.
And by the way, Fleet of Foot, try to get that clip and play that with the crap that they're putting out there, knowing now that the 41's funeral is bankable, and it's like this.
Yes,
we're
going to
promote this. I'm trying to get an example of him.
I thought the speeches,
singing.
which I watched, I thought they were great.
Yeah,
they were pretty good.
And each one had to really. I mean, they were at a handicap walking after one another to say. I would say they were 4-for-4.
Yeah.
What did you say? What?
So if someone goes first, they have the advantage to actually for the president to get up there, his son, and actually deliver a speech after those three great speeches.
He didn't go first. No.
That's the way I saw it recapped.
No, John Meacham went first.
No, I'm saying for the president to go last after three.
He went last.
I believe so. Yeah.
Yes.
Bush went last.
After those three speeches, which I thought were great, I know that you have a different opinion of that.
Well, no, I didn't mind the speech. I thought the sentiments were amazing and it was wonderful. Alan Simpson, who is 1,000 years old too, and a dear friend of the president's, it's just get him a wet sponge up there and do that, because the old men tend to take the papers, you know, whether it's, Brian. What's his name? The Prime Minister of Canada, or Alan Simpson's former senator of Wyoming.
Yeah.
And the licking of the thing must have been dry in that church. Is it dry in Washington now?
Yeah.
Dry temperatures.
Yeah, because of the cold weather.
I've done that. I've spoken publicly, and I know that it's a challenge, especially when all, you know. By the way, here's a bulletin. Scientific studies have shown that as you age, all the fluid leaves your body.
This is true.
So you don't have any more, you know, you have no more. And with, you know, at one point, and I'm trying to get into the sentiment, but this is where Carla gets mad at me, because I'm looking at the television. I'm like, fix your papers. Figure out what order they're in. Stop licking your fingers. You know, there are ways to do it. There are ways to do it.
Like, you know, that you have coined.
You can use index cards. There are a lot of different ways to do it. You know, maybe have a glue stick on. There's just a, there are 5,000 people that are handlers there that, did you notice W speech? Did you notice it in a binder? Did you notice
organized.
That's how, he had it? So he would simply touch. And then you get Alan Simpson who's up there and go, I remember. There had to be.
What surprised like me that. Is that George W.'s not only was in a
Mike,
binder.
Why would sorry. That piss you off?
Because it pisses, I love ceremony to be perfect.
It has
love,
to be organized. Yeah.
Public speaking is one of my things, and I hate it when it's done badly. In fact, it drives me nuts. Let people going, like, for example, the reason Rob can do Jimmy's DJing at his party and I cannot, I could no more sit next to Jimmy while he's doing a 45-minute speech than stick a needle in my eye. It would not be something I would want to do on any level. I like it to be tight, bright, out of sight. It's a DJ thing. It's a DJ thing where everything's like, you know, look around here. It's like everything is like, everything's perfect. Written down in order. It's where it's supposed
it's
to
controlled
be.
It's controlled chaos.
A radio
it's not
I
even
know
chaos.
It's a radio show. But it's just you've got a speech that you're going to give. You're going to give a eulogy. And you
million
get
eyes are on you, and it is, and you'll agree with me. A eulogy is one of the hardest pieces of public speaking to do. You walk a line the whole time. Chances are you're, and we saw this yesterday. You're always teetering on the edge of emotion. Mm. You have to mind that.
And they all, by the way, I'm exaggerating because they were all good speeches. Nobody really screwed up. But to me, when you're hearing the Prime Minister of Canada. Is it Brian Mulroney? Is
I believe
that who
that's
it was?
Right. I'll double
check. Nice
yeah, we don't know. It's and you hear. I remember President Bush when he was. It's like Jesus Christ. We just get the paper where they're supposed to.
What about an iPad?
For God's sake, yeah.
No, I don't trust an iPad.
No. The iPad would bone you. An iPad. You know what a eulogy would be with an iPad? My memory of the 41st president is that he. No, it's gone. It's gone. I'm seeing a YouTube ad.
Yeah, it would ask if you want to put your speech up on the cloud. It is Brian Mulroney, Mike.
It's Brian Mulroney. Brian wonderful Mulroney. Talk that he gave. And
we were and distracted. I hated that he was talking. Because while he was talking, that's when no one was watching the border. That's when I'm sure they were going to attack.
When they were going to attack.
Canada. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, he's a former prime minister. That means the current one is still up there making the attack plan.
He's saying, go, go, go.
But really, at the end of the day, Republicans, Democrats, everybody coming together and a cool family, really, ultimately a cool family. The brother-to-brother stuff reminded me a lot of my cousins. And, you know, you got Jeb up there, you know, putting his hand on his brother's knee after he lost it. And I remember, I don't want to get verklempt here, but I'm not feeling well. So I might get a little verklempt. But I'm going to remember when I gave, I relate to this because giving your father's eulogy is the hardest thing a son can do. It is the hardest thing. You know, to watch your dad die is difficult. To stand up before a church when you got to say goodbye to him. So I watched, I'm not looking at him as President Bush. I'm looking at him as a son giving his father's eulogy. And I remember that I kept it together during my dad's eulogy till the very end, just like W did, where you're at the finish line and you have to say something emotional and touching because that's the way you end a eulogy.
Right.
And when you do, I think mine was, and his triumphant human spirit will live in our hearts forever. I think that was the last line of my eulogy for my dad. And you get to that finish line and you feel like you've made it. And when you feel that way, you let your guard down.
Yep.
And that's when he lost it. And then he went down to that first row and I could so relate. I said to my wife last night, it is the only time in my life that I've ever felt physical pain that was a result of something emotional. The pain kind of shot down into my legs when I sat down in the pew, and it was just that moment. So watching that is brings back all the memories. And I was really glad that I could just give a poem at my mom's because I'm not sure I would have even been able to get through it. It is the hardest thing for someone to do, especially if you love your dad. It is so difficult. And it was just I felt great after watching that. I thought it was just a wonderful send-off, and they're doing the same thing down in Houston today. And I thought his Episcopal priest was a pretty fantastic speech as well, which surprised me because I'm used to Irish priests that really don't know who the person in the casket is.
Oh, but they love to fake
it. That's the way.
Yeah, they love to fake it.
Yeah. Yeah, like I'm sitting, you know, I always mention the story about my Uncle Bill Shannon at his funeral where the Irish priest was up on the altar, and it's a mass. By the way, in the Irish church, The Irish Church. The Catholic Church.
Same thing.
They really don't like eulogies. They like to leave it all to the pastor.
The structure. And, they like the structure of the Mass, and then it's in, yeah. The homily.
And this Irish pastor said, I remember Bill used to work with leather. He liked leather things. He was like, and all of a sudden what? You start hearing belts. He made belts. He made belts for the kids. He made belts. Leather crafting, leather, and your belts, belts, like that, belts. And he never got it right. And then at my father's funeral, the parish priest had galoshes on because it was raining outside. No need to slip those off for the service, you incredible dick. That was it. Other than that, I'm all for the Catholic Church. Thank you very much. That's it.
Yeah, it was
great. Put another bumper sticker on your car.
We watched the service here at Podcast Village, and it was weird because, if you think you're watching it on television, you're just having the same experience as everyone else across the nation and really the world. Right. But there was one weird moment when the family was coming out, and there was a lengthy moment when they were waiting for the family to exit the church and come outside. But I heard a helicopter on television. Mm-hmm. And then I heard it not be on television, and I heard the helicopter be here in real life. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh my God, that's right. We're only about 2/3 of a
mile
away.
That's just up the road.
It's a quarter of a mile.
Yeah.
Was that some sort of epiphany for you where you
realized that it was on television? No, but it makes you realize just how close we were to it.
Which was more exciting for you, that moment or seeing the people in the fur coats?
The most exciting moment when I realized is I really shouldn't have brought it up just now. And I'm really thrilled.
Look, helicopter's on television.
Like Steve Martin up here. We heard the helicopter. It's on TV. It's in the sky. I'll do the Patton voice. It's in the sky and it's on TV at the same time. It's exciting. Very, very exciting. That's incredible.
I like that.
Rob, go back to your corner. Take a fur coat.
All right.
We will take a break and we'll come back with whatever. Rob's World. Let's find out. Let's check in with Rob's World.
Rob's World.
Find out what's going on in the happiest place. It's not Disneyland. The happiest place on earth. Let's check that out with Rob Spiewak when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Rob and Katie.
Hey there! This is Katie of the Cake and Cookie Show, and we're back, bitches! And I only say that because I've had too much wine and Rob has had too much Smirnoff. Uh-oh. On this episode, we explain our absence and we discuss our trip to Vegas for the Mike O'Mara Live Show. We even talk ballet and old school radio jobs. You'll miss out if you don't tune in. Click away, crumbs!
Cake and Cookies. It's the Rob and Katie Show.
A lot of people are excited to have you guys back. It's only been how many months?
August was our last one, so just a couple weeks.
That's exciting. All right. You'll get a recap of the Las Vegas show that was a month ago, and it should be very, very special. And Katie was wonderful out there, and it was delightful.
She was.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Cornerstone First Financial. Here's a message from those good folks. As we approach the conclusion of 2018, it's only human to ask ourselves, did we achieve the goals that we set for ourselves last January? Saving money is always a prime goal that people set each year. If that's what you said last January, don't be like most people and say that you'll give it another shot this year. Cornerstone First Financial is so committed to helping you achieve your goals, they want to motivate you to get started. Check this out. Cornerstone First Financial will pay for your appraisal until the end of this year and allow you to take a month off from paying your mortgage. That's a nice bit of Yuletide cheer just in time for the holidays. So, whether you refinance, purchase, consolidate debt, or just shorten a loan term, call Cornerstone First Financial and allow them to help you achieve your financial goals this year and next year. Click their banner on our website, visit cornerstonefirst.com, or call them at 202-625-1221 and tell Mark we said happy holidays. Woo. Cornerstone First Financial, personal attention from application to closing. Thank you very much. I've been trying to get to this because you had something happen that you wanted to talk about.
My mom heard from people at her job that there is a free concert that the Army Band does every year. This is called Pershing Zone, not the President Zone, which is the Marine
Christmas
Band.
Christmas concert?
It's a Christmas concert. They do it at DAR Constitution Hall, which is a roughly turn-of-the-century building here in the District of Columbia that actually has really good acoustics. It's a great place to see a show.
Absolutely. I've seen a couple of shows there. It sounds better than any venue around here that I can
It is. I saw REM there, and I saw the Moody Blues there. It's a great hall. But sadly out of date in many ways, and also once we got there, I realized sort of the same sort of rich Washington culture that goes to things at DAR Constitution.
Do they have chairs on the floor, or do they actually have real seats?
There are seats. There's real seats.
They're hard. Yeah,
and it's got a stage at one end, and then an oval of seats.
Looks better on TV.
It really does. And then there's seats that are on a risers on the around the perimeter, and then the seats on the floor. So my mom got the tickets, and we drove down, and it was a hideous weekend. Cold, rainy,
dark. You're a
good
son, let me tell you.
Well, thank you. And I wanted to see it, too, because I had never been to this holiday concert thing. And so we get there, and because it's cold and rainy and wet, I drop off my mom.
Can't wear your fur coat.
No. Oh, my God. It would smell like wet mink. Right. All day.
Wet mink is the worst.
It is. It's worse than it's wet terrible. Dog. Wet mink. So I drop off
wet socks.
Julia and my wife Carrie and my mom. I drop them off right there at Constitution Hall. I said, I'm going to go grab a place in a parking deck and I'll be there soon. The concert starts at 8. Doors open at 7. Get them there at like 7:02. They're going in. I said, fantastic. So I go and I put in and I think, it's right in the middle of downtown. It shouldn't be hard to find a parking garage. And I go up a block, parking garage, closed. I said, oh, okay. Go up another block, parking garage, closed. I mean,
when's the show Sunday?
This is 7 o'clock on a Saturday night. We're going to be
on a Saturday night.
Yeah, we'll be out of the place by 10. I don't even need a parking garage.
Parking
to be
in this
late.
Town is ridiculous because they're not going to open the parking garage when there's nobody there.
So
that's the way they do it.
So I actually put into Waze, find me a parking spot, and they say, oh, go to this parking garage. And I go in there that's lit up. I say, oh, fantastic. It's only about, maybe five, six blocks away. So I pull in, and there's a lady at the bottom of the incline where, you go through the arm that goes up.
Yeah.
Hey, lady.
And I look at her, and we make eye contact, and she motions me to come down. And so I drive down to her, and she says, roll your window down. I say, okay, and I roll my window down. She says, we're closed.
Oh, my God, I've had that happen, you ass.
So I said,
it's like 7 o'clock. They're rolling the sidewalks up in D.C. There's no place to park.
I said, I only need to be here at 10 till 10. And she says, we're closing now. Best if you turn around. I said, okay, good
Thank
plan.
You, lady.
But you said you probably shouldn't have waved me in to tell me that. So it's by the way, all parking garages in D.C., piece of cake to turn around.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like a 4-foot ceiling.
Have you heard of an app, and I don't know if it's still viable, and I should know this.
Yeah.
It's Parking Panda?
I've heard of it, yes.
Okay. That might help.
It would have helped, and I appreciate that now.
Yeah.
Okay. So I get out.
Well, he's heard of it.
And I go, and I say, what I'm going to do.
It's exciting. Hit the space bar. Move your text.
Yeah. I'm going to attempt the bane of any suburbanite's existence. I'm going to attempt street parking. In Washington, D.C.
That's why you're avoiding. That's why you wanted a garage.
In the rain.
Ah.
And you see, it's really a lousy night. It's probably like 35 degrees, windy, rainy. And I find a space.
God, I wish I was back there.
I know. It's beautiful. And the monuments just look beautiful in the rain.
In the gray. In the 40 degrees in gray.
The gray rain.
So I find a place about, I would say, 5 or 6 blocks from Constitution Hall.
Jeez. You have an umbrella?
I do.
A top coat?
I did not have a coat that night, but I park.
And by the way, Constitution Hall is down near all like the presidential stuff.
Yeah, it's
that's
right.
That's why it's so tough to park.
And it's really right in the middle of everything. And so I park and I get out and I go to the meter and I've got some quarters. And I say, okay, I'll do the meter. And I look and the meter does not accept quarters. The meter accepts, I guess,
a credit card? Or an app.
And so there's two old men. This is my first encounter with the senior sector of Washington, D.C., who are at the next meter up, and they are staring at it like Indiana Jones trying to figure out how to get that gold idol.
Yeah, I mean, D.C.
at the beginning
is all
of Raiders.
About that. People coming in from the burbs, not knowing what's going
who
on.
Who carries change around?
I have some change in my car. I just have.
I think it's a generational thing.
So I look, I'm the same generation as you.
No, you are not.
Aren't they all electronic now? Aren't they all supposed to be electronic?
Yeah, you throw your card in, and then you move forward with life.
So I look, I go up to the old men, and I say, what do you do here? He says, do you use change? And he says, he looks at he gives me one of those.
Was it Steve Bridges?
It was television's Andy Rooney.
Oh, okay. too many.
And then he turns to his other Andy Rooney friend. He says, are you sure it took? And the other guy says, yeah, I put your license plate in.
They'll close garages, but they won't close the meter people.
No, they won't.
No,
they
They'll
won't.
Make sure they get you. They're everywhere. They're 24/7.
The app itself makes it easy. You just have to go ahead and download it.
Download the app, and then you can pay for your parking.
And that's where it goes to, because the other one says, well, how do I know they're not going to tow me? And he says, and this is what he says, I swear. He says, the meter maid has an iPad. And then...
This is, you know what? I would have enjoyed hearing this.
Wow.
Because this is how, wow. Like, you.
Where were the women? In the car?
No, the women I dropped off already. Remember?
No, the women for the old men.
Oh, I imagine they had been dropped off too because the old men were by themselves.
Had. Or that's the what, poles to poles.
They oh, they could have been lovers. Nothing wrong with that? No, nothing wrong at all.
Yes.
But as you know, Mike, the meter
Let's
maid.
Go to the Christmas concert.
The meter right. maid has an iPad. Are you sure it'll take? Yeah, I gave him your license tag.
What are you doing about your meter at this point?
So I see now that it's an app deal, and I get out my phone and I download the app. At this point, I get the first text from Julia. Have you parked yet? And I wanted to text back. Parking now! Hope you're having fun inside in the dry weather.
Right.
So waiting, not a lot of great cellular connectivity in the middle of the city, so the app is taking its time. And
the first time, it is a little arduous.
And so I'm standing there in the rain, and I finally get it loaded, and it says, put in your, you know, sign in with your information, and it says, there's already a parking account under that email. And I said,
yeah, that's always helpful. From the last time you needed it, which you've totally forgot.
It was probably 2 years ago.
With a different password and everything else. Yeah. That's how they bone you.
So I had to recover my password and do all that, and another text comes in.
Did you have to reset your password?
Of course, and then you get another text. When are you going to be here? It's now about 7:35. I said, I really wanted a text back. As soon as I finish having a good time, I'll show up.
I'm stroking out over here.
Standing here in the rain. So I finally get in.
Are you all by yourself?
All by myself in darkness. Okay. And I finally get in, and it takes, and it works, and it's $6, and that's great. And I'm off to Constitution Hall. I said, I'll be there shortly. Where are you guys? And she says, back row, main floor. I said, that's vague. And then no reply to that. So I get in and I...
This is a big place.
Huge hall. Yeah. Huge hall.
And I graduated from there.
Me too.
And I have my computer printout ticket, which is now just almost in pieces because it's been in the rain.
Tattered.
It's been crumpled and in my pocket. And here's the best thing. They don't even take your ticket. They just let you in because it's general admission and they don't care. So I really didn't need to have the ticket. I just come in.
So it's festival seating.
It's festival seating, but
I just thought it was a nice fancy name for people stomping on each other.
So I have to go to the festival bathroom because I've been standing outside for a half hour longer than I wanted to, and I've had to pee the whole time. So I go, and it's not an unelegant facility. I mean, there's a certain classiness to it.
It's dated, though.
But it is horribly dated. Right. And so I follow the signs, and it says, men's lounge. And I said, that's where you go to pee. And I go down a staircase that looks like it's from an Alfred Hitchcock movie. It is as
You're
wide.
You're going down into the bowels.
Exactly.
The
you have to go under the building, and it is a curving staircase with a low ceiling.
Are your shoulders rubbing on both sides?
Well, my shoulders are rubbing against every other old man that's coming up because they've had to pee because everyone has the bladder the size of a walnut. And so they're all doing the steps and taking the curve, and you go down to a bathroom that is really about the size of a box that a pair of boots would come in. And and then one of my favorite things, I see a guy, I go and I'm going to, all the urinals are taken. So I go to a stall and the stall is open and there's a guy pissing with his pants down. And I said, that's
a
good
look. Down to his ankles?
Yes.
So that's an old man move.
Just looking at his
ankles. That's a nobody move.
That's the elderly move.
I've seen Chad really do that.
Yeah, well, that's for comedic value.
It is great.
I'm talking about walking
in. He's got his pants on the floor. That's the piss floor.
I know. The green and black tiled piss floor of DAR Constitutional.
God, come on.
Listen to me. That man didn't want those to hit the ground.
No, but it's all he got.
Once he got there and it was flowing,
they don't have the energy to spread the knees out so it catches the
dexterity.
By the way, he's not and you can guarantee he's not wearing modern clothing.
Maybe he lost a lot of weight.
He's wearing pants that
pants that
Emmett Kelly would wear. The clown pants, that's what he's wearing.
I wear big suits too,
all right? As soon as you unbuckle the belt, it's like, shoom, right down to the floor.
Falling down.
Unless you stand in the shortstop position.
So anyway, I finally take care of that, wash my hands, and then it's back up this horrifying staircase.
Where's the towel dispenser?
I believe it was a hot air dryer. I don't remember.
Really?
So I go back up this horrifying staircase. And again, the flow of old men coming down is nonstop. And they're not going to stop for me. And it is literally not wide enough for two people.
Yeah.
This staircase. So everybody, it's bump. And I said, excuse me. And to a person, everyone, excuse me. Excuse me.
Christmas, Christmas. Don't
do you ever think that this is your fault?
No, I never do.
Okay.
So I get up to the main floor. Now I'm going to go find my family. And I go in. And because it's Constitution Hall and was built in like 1911, all the seats are too narrow. The aisles are too narrow. Everything is like at a beautiful 4/5 scale, like Disneyland.
And it's last year there was a Zoolander. And that was there 3 years ago to see.
And his pants wouldn't fall either.
No, not at all.
And so, unless you're a waif, you're not going to be comfortable.
So I go down and really, because based on the vague reply of the text and no one's replying to me back, I have to go to sort of the middle of the floor to look back to try and find my family. But I can't do that because everywhere in the festival seating area is the older Washington, D.C. socialite, not in a fur coat, but should have been, that stops and spreads her arms to gesture and says, "There certainly are a lot of people here." And then her friend says,
"Others.
Would you like two on the floor?" And she says, "I don't know. There's lots of seats up there." And I say, "Then go up there because you're blocking everything." I look behind.
Care.
No, I look behind me and it has stopped because these two old crones are standing in the aisle with their arms spread talking about where they might sit.
Right.
And so then I'm finally, my family gestures to me and I get to that. But now I start.
How are your seats?
They were towards the back on the floor. They were fantastic. They were really, really cool. And it's a beautiful concert. And I must commend the Army Band. It was a really great show.
Not as good as the Marine Band.
No, they're not. But you know what? They're sort of like, if the Marine Band is the Beatles, these were definitely the Dave Clark Five. They were
fine.
There
you go. And all right.
Who were the Monkees?
The Monkees were those ladies with their hands out.
Coast Guard.
Lots of seats up there.
How dare you?
I don't know if the Coast Guard's even got a band. I'm not sure. I'm sure they do. Sure.
It's a five-piece. It's five-piece.
It's a trio.
It's a lot of keyboards.
You're going to get a lot of
No offense
messages.
To anybody in the Coast Guard. I love the Coast Guard.
And then
I've been to the Coast Guard Academy, okay? Thank you.
So the ladies that are holding up everything turn and they say, "We're going to sit up there." To no one in particular, they say this, like I'm following it. And then they say, "But not without our wine." And they both. And then when they laugh, I get a smell of their breath. And they are wine soaked. And
as
I begin to wind my way through the crowd, all I smell is white wine and old people. Mm. And that's what they do.
Old people, white wine breath.
Yeah, it's just old people drinking white wine and they're there at the concert. And so I finally find our way to our seats and the concert is great. And we get out of there and there's more white wine breath and people standing in line to get out.
Any souvenirs?
They were selling Christmas ornaments. But I did not get any of those, no. But it was a great concert, but I just want to say, if you are an older, white wine-soaked person, take the first seat you see. Just sit down. That's all I ask. Is that
not,
asking
not too much to ask.
No, it's all I want.
Not at all.
And,
wine-soaked works for me. I love that.
And then what it was the other bad thing is that with about 10 minutes left in the concert, and they had a program, so you knew where you were, I was getting, "You have 15 minutes left on your parking space. You have 12 minutes left." And I'm like, "Could you just play Sleigh Ride so we can go home?"
Can you add time to the
Depends on the zone.
You can in this zone. But we made it. We made it. And we got out of there before those old men.
So convenient in our nation's capital.
I love this town. I love this town.
Come back with more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show.
This week on the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show.
I think right now I'm at a 54 long two. I think we're probably tied. Except mine's longer.
What's yours, Pony? Well,
oh, but also one sleeve is 4 inches longer 12. Than the other.
Well, it's a 50, but in millimeters.
Yeah. Oh, he's metric.
That was good.
I think
and
that's
by
nice.
By the way, he doesn't wear jacket sport coats. He wears a kimono.
The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Because 5 hours a week just ain't enough. Always available at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Trade Coffee. It's the best time of year for a great cup of coffee. And whether you're a coffee nerd or just someone who loves a great cup, you need Trade Coffee. Trade partners with 50 of the best roasters in the United States and features over 400 unique coffees that they deliver right to your door. Even better, your coffee is roasted only after you order it. I love this part. So it's going to be the freshest you've ever tasted. Trade has the coffee you need. And if you're a coffee novice, never fear. This is what they do. Go to drinktrade.com. They have a simple 6-question quiz and a magic algorithm that will match you up with the perfect coffee for your palate. Before you know it, you'll have a list of choices choices, all perfectly suited to what you like. Perfect coffee, perfectly matched to you, and as fresh as can be. Perfect is easy at drinktrade.com. Trade Coffee is so excited for you to give them a try. They're going to knock 50% off any bag of coffee that you like when you place your first order. Just go to drinktrade.com and use the promo code TMOS. Remember that promo code TMOS, and you get half off a bag of coffee on your first order at drinktrade.com. How you doing?
We're great.
Doing great.
How are you doing?
I am horrible.
What's wrong?
Yeah, I have got I feel like somebody gave me like arsenic. I am hanging on by my fingernails right now.
You have to make big potty? Would that help?
No. Just stomach cramps that are like, you were telling the story, and I'm going, oh, my God. It helps to talk about it. Helps to talk about it. I think I've got 40 years. I don't articulate this when
this. No.
This is just like, like that. I have no idea whether, you know, you get nervous when you've been injected with something.
Sure.
You know, you wonder what the deal is, but I don't know.
Well, this was a real physician, not like a gypsy on the outside of town in a wooden cart, right?
I'll go with that.
Put gravy in you. You got a cortisone shot.
Gravy.
Let's hope. Hope it's okay. You know. Let's get an intern update. Are we going to get some new blood in
new blood?
Yes, we actually have two that will be starting the first of the year. Johnny and Jesse. They are both from.
We've got an intern named Johnny. I've always wanted an intern named Johnny.
I want to say that I'm available Thursdays after
That's
8.
Some wild, wild stuff.
Now, ladies and gentlemen.
So there was an intern named Johnny.
I like them both. They're both enthusiastic, and they both like the show a lot. So that's going to be fun.
What schools are they from?
Johnny is, I believe, wasn't he from AU? I believe Johnny was from AU.
Yeah, I think so.
And I know that Jesse is from Mason because I met her when I spoke there. We have a few others that will be coming in.
I love our Mason interns, and I love our AU interns. They're fantastic.
We have three, I believe, that will be coming in for interviews before the end of the year. So we've got some fish on the line.
This is an interesting dynamic here. Now, as far as our internship program goes, the reality of the work that was done is more of us teaching and them learning than the support staff that evolved into
teaching
today.
Teaching about broadcasting, teaching about podcasts, teaching about how to manage your life.
Yes.
Really.
Yeah. And look, I would say that sometimes things are done because of the nature of this program on and off air. But Dan O'Brien is a better professional, I would say, because of the tough love we've given him.
Is Mac, same thing.
Yeah.
I would say of all the interns we've had, I would say Dan O'Brien is the greatest success story vis-a-vis learning from his mistakes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But in this day and age, most people are not called out on their mistakes.
That's true.
It was rough for him. Called out on his mistakes, got his mother involved. Oh, my God. It was a horrible time for that young boy.
That's
right. And then he went to work on a failed congressional campaign, but he worked on it, and he got great experience.
No one is saying that she lost because of him.
Yeah. No one.
No one's ever
wasn't
said
his
that.
Fault.
Not his fault.
You worked on losing campaigns in the past. It wasn't your fault either.
I haven't. Vanjie Williams, it was not Dan O'Brien's fault. Please stop saying that.
Yeah, please stop with the text.
Oh, come on, guys.
We're just kidding.
That guy's going to slit his wrists.
I think we've got a really good chance. Yeah, that was accurate.
Yeah, you know what? If Dan O'Brien slit his wrist, he'd probably miss.
Oh, come on.
Stop it. Behave yourself.
Why do you say this thing?
How did you just turn on him?
That is horrible.
I like Dan O'Brien.
I do, too.
I like him more than anybody. I think he's a great kid.
Not a contest, but you're right.
You don't like any interns.
Oh, my God.
Because you were a bullied intern,
well,
so you
I'm
don't
ruined.
Like interns.
I'm ruined. And I love my interns.
Ever since we made you put a bra and bathing suit and go down to the Bay Bridge.
Yes, it's a different time.
It is.
We've cultivated
we don't do that
a culture that allows... And I'm proud of this.
Right.
People to learn at their pace.
Mm-hmm.
And Podcast Village, with the expansion of the sheer office space.
The annex.
It gives them a place to go to say, I'm gonna get as many reps at this editing, whether it be video or audio, as possible until I can make this viable and take the skill set to go. And half of our interns have got employed other places.
Right.
Right.
Because they get that skill set.
One of the most amazing
things.
We'd
employ them here, but we don't have the money to pay them.
No.
One that I've seen, and I've spoken at Mason enough to know this, that when they do the opening remarks, they always talk about make sure you schedule your time to edit your stuff in the studios, that they actually have to block out time 15 minutes at a time if they want to edit. One of the greatest things we offer here is the facility and the space, that if they want to come in and learn to edit, they have an open-ended policy to do it. That for Andrea was fantastic.
Mm. And are there any other big perks that the interns coming to work on the Mike O'Mara show would enjoy? Is there any one single perk that comes to mind, Rob? Something that might be essential for all interns to take advantage of?
I believe so. Special, and that is chilled, filtered water. All you want.
There you go. All you want to drink.
H2O.
Yes, plenty of ice cold water and a chance if you're not a Catholic to convert and go across the hallway and see the Catholics that work here and
Georgetown.
Get a little lowdown, get a couple of pamphlets and see about what you're going to do.
They're
and,
called
maybe a bumper sticker.
They're called religious tracts.
Yes, that's exciting. And how to occupy the bathroom on the most important day.
That's exactly right. That's the Lord's Day. Well.
What's fascinating about our neighbors, and God bless them. There's a few.
So to speak.
There's a few.
Really, God bless
there
them.
There's a few of their team members that listen to this show. So know that.
Okay.
When Podcast Village was expanding to another suite, it would be logical that you would look across the hall because that, as far as operations.
Proximity.
You walk across the hall instead of going to another floor. It makes more sense. We ended up going to another floor just because of the space and what was allotted. But we did initially talk to the Catholics to say, do you want to take the second floor? Because
then we could.
Yeah, then we could, you know, expand. Vice versa. Mm-hmm. And they gave us a tour of the place. They have too many security issues for what they do. Right. And they have.
No one can know about the prayers.
They have.
And the guns.
And the prayers about
because,
guns.
Because of a university parameters.
Right on.
That it was going to be cost prohibitive for them to move downstairs, and they had built out that space.
Okay.
That space has its own kitchen, has its own private shower, has it is a home away from home.
Fantastic.
Let me just say
as it stands right now, Mike, the interns are not allowed to bathe here.
Yeah, they can't bathe.
No, it's in the rules.
If they bathe, they have to go out on Wisconsin Avenue.
A corporate shower was always an icky idea for me.
I hate that idea.
But,
Alan Goodman.
Really?
He had one in his office.
I had no idea.
At 10-800 Main Street.
I remember.
No, well, not 10-800 Main Street. In Arlington.
George Mason, right?
George Mason in Arlington, Virginia. Yeah.
I remember.
I don't think he used it, though. I think he kept files in there.
I remember at the World Health. A great place to put files where water's probably going to seep out any moment.
That was wonderful. It was a great office.
So,
he used to hide pieces of pizza under his couch. We did.
I know. It's great.
And leave
we got a break. We have to break. Oh, my God. We have to break.
There?
Yeah.
Yes.
It was okay for a few
and
weeks.
And not under the couch, under the cushion of the couch.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yes. And under the cushion of his fancy general manager's chair.
Would you ever like go into
what's
like.
What's that smell? What's that smell?
Into the structure of the couch? Like the, like.
No, we never did that.
Okay.
We
never did that. You only know what? That shows a kind person.
You had to hit and run when he was like down the hallway at a sales meeting. And we, we had the run of the place. We did all sorts of terrible things. It was horrible.
That's all alleged. I understand
you were juvenile delinquent.
Heard you were schoolboys.
That's the way it goes. Yes, school. Yes, choir boys. We were. We'll take a break. Come back with news you may not need right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
You don't need a lot of presents.
The other day, I got a call from my sweet mother about her microwave being on the fritz. Now, back in the day, I knew a guy that I could get one from the trunk of his car. But now, in these modern times, I go to the Mike O'Mara Show website where I clicked on the Holiday Shopping Center banner to shop with the three giants of industry, Macy's.com, Target.com, and Walmart.com. To get my sweet dear mother one of them over there. Now you P1s should go over the same place for your mother and get something nice for her for this holiday season. Or you're going to get a lump of coal and your holiday stocking. Capiche? Now let's get back to the grand poobah of Papa's Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Paulie. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Legacy Box. Isn't it time to digitize your lifetime of memories? You can do it, and all you need is Legacy Box. You just send in your Legacy Box filled with old home movies and pictures, and they'll do the rest, digitizing your moments onto a thumb drive, the cloud, or DVDs. It's like magic. We've all done it. I love it. I love seeing the old film converted to the digital file that I have of my dear, sweet, departed parents. It's great. We love Legacy Box. You will, too, because the results are amazing. Finally, you can get all your memories organized and ensure that your family history is preserved forever. Legacy Box is the world's largest, most trusted digitizer of home movies and photos. Over 450,000 families have trusted Legacy Box. They have over a decade of experience, and all the work is done by hand right here in the good old USA. There's never been a better time to digitally preserve your memories. Visit LegacyBox.com today to get started. For a limited time, our listeners can get a huge exclusive discount. Go to LegacyBox.com/TMOS to get 40% off your first order. Go to LegacyBox.com/TMOS and save 40% today. Get started preserving your past, and thank you to Legacy Box.
News!
News!
People Magazine has put out its annual list of the 25 most intriguing people of the year. As we wind down the year, you're going to get more and more of these. Here's the list. I've got five. I'm not going to give you the 25. That's tedious.
Don't you think it's a little early when they start putting these lists? That seems to be earlier and earlier every year.
Not early for DJ Prep Sheets. That's all they have.
That's right. You're
right. That is all they have, along with Bad Shtick. That's what they do. It sucks. It really does. It's hard to source material when you're trying to do this. Number five is Idris Elba. Mm-hmm. You know him. Probably chosen to hype their own choice to make them make him sexiest,
sexiest man. Sexiest man, right.
Number four is Melissa McCarthy. She's getting Oscar buzz for Can You Ever Forgive Me? A movie I haven't seen yet.
Is that out yet? I think it's in limited release now, maybe?
I think it is. I'm not sure. Number three is Chip and Joanna Gaines.
Oh, Magnolia.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, they are
the fixer upper couple,
Mike. They are a force to be reckoned with. They have their own network. They're coming out with.
Are they as good as the Property Brothers?
They're just as big, if not better.
Better looking.
Well, they left their show and they're recharging another show, right?
No, they're recharging another show, but a network. They're launching a Magnolia network.
Says last year they retired Fixer Upper last year to recharge, but are already planning to return to TV on their own network.
Yeah. Wow.
And once again, to the Food Network, instead of the cake wars and the battles and guys' kitchen games and all that garbage, please put out either a sister one, Food Network. It used to be Food TV,
right?
Where we've got a few more things. Yeah. We need more.
What about
just making food?
Is the Cooking Channel as bad? Does the Cooking Channel?
That's the other one. I'm not sure because I don't get it anymore because I've got Crapple. That's the Xfinity cable. Number two, here we go, Rob. You're gonna love this.
Uh-huh.
Hoda Kotb and Savannah Guthrie.
Good for them.
Oh, I am so intrigued by Savannah Guthrie. Is there anything about her that doesn't just pique your interest?
They have killed it in the ratings since Matt Lauer got fired. So that's why they're picked.
Yeah, they're waiting for them to get started.
And number one, ladies and gentlemen, you saw her yesterday. Number one is Michelle Obama.
Yeah! I'd say that's a good choice. I think that's a good choice for number one.
Because within days of the publication of her memoir, Becoming, it became the best-selling book of the year. And she was there yesterday.
She's selling out stadiums.
There was a fun fact that the number of copies that she sold in her first day equaled the number of copies that Mrs. Clinton.
Yes, Hillary.
Hillary sold in a month.
Yeah, pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. And they're saying she could walk into the nomination if she decided to run.
Do you think she will?
But no, I don't think she will.
Why would she do that to her family?
Yeah.
No, I don't think she would do that. I don't think she would do that.
If she did,
she'd
have a shot.
Yeah, I mean, it would be interesting.
That's why I'm going to vote for Kotb.
Hoda Kotb for president. Thank you very much. New York Magazine published a very strange essay on thecut.com. It accused Priyanka Chopra of being a global scam artist who conned Nick Jonas into fraudulently marrying her.
Really?
Now, I don't care about either one of these two, but the story was fascinating. Among other things, it said, quote, "At times, marriage can be a beautifully wonderful union that warms even the coldest of hearts. But sadly, this union evokes no such feeling. This is weird. I don't know where it came from.
I don't know if this is an agenda. This is from the camp of one of the Jonas Brothers' lovers. Like ex-lovers. Wow. It's got to be.
Got to be.
A hit piece.
Or do you think it's the Jonas Bride haters?
Oh.
Which could be a lot of overlap there.
God, let me go on with the article. Please. It says, all Nick wanted was a possible fling with Hollywood's latest It woman, but instead he wound up staring straight at a life sentence with a global scam artist.
Wow.
I don't know how this got in New York Magazine. I really don't. I mean, it's
why do they call her scam artist?
Fascinating take.
It's unclear what their point was, Oscar. Apparently, it wasn't a joke because after it started getting backlash, New York Magazine heavily edited the story by cutting a lot out of it. But later, they yanked it entirely and issued this statement, quote, upon further editorial review, we found this story did not meet our standards. We removed it and apologized. Well, fire the editor.
Oh, my God.
It shouldn't have gotten it in the... they also said it missed the mark. You think?
Yeah. Well, the fact that they edited it and then pulled it, it should never have been
up
in the first place.
They should have probably done a lot to the second season of Quantico as well, which she's the star of.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, absolutely. Priyanka Chopra. Someone looked at Rotten Tomatoes and Google Trends to figure out the most popular Christmas movie in every state. I'm not going to give you all of them, but
all right.
This is a list that's so bad I had to include it here. They used a somewhat liberal definition of what a Christmas movie is, but here's what they go. The number one Christmas movie overall, you'll never get it.
I would guess It's a Wonderful Life just for its staying power.
Gremlins.
Oh, you know what? Gremlins, that Gremlins 2 is...
Number one in seven states. Arkansas, Colorado, Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Oklahoma, and Texas.
Wow, what are those states?
They love their gremlins. Look at them gremlins.
There's some commonality in them states. Don't feed them. Don't feed them after midnight.
9 p.m.
The biggest snub of this list is It's a Wonderful Life, which didn't snag the top spot in any of the 50
states.
Yeah,
overrated. I've been telling that for years.
Well, it's not that it's overrated. It's a more traditional movie. Overexposed. Yeah. That's the problem.
Home Alone is number one in six states. Alabama, Indiana, Iowa, North Dakota, Ohio, and Illinois. Die Hard took the top spot in four states. Missouri, Virginia. There you go.
Thank you.
Washington and Wisconsin. Trading Places is also number one in four states. Connecticut, Hawaii, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Scrooged is number one in three states. At least that's Christmas.
Yeah.
Batman Returns also won three states.
Really
Edward
good.
Scissorhands took two states. And A Christmas Carol also won two states.
Which Christmas Carol? Does it say which version?
Well, let's go with the George C. Scott version.
Thank you. That's my favorite. Yeah.
Spirit.
A bit of bad mustard. Yeah,
a 21-year-old guy from Ireland named Ryan O'Connor lives in Australia and trains racehorses.
What's all this talk about preserving it?
No, I'm sorry. He's in pretty good shape, but hadn't been feeling very well. Something just fell off. But he didn't think it was a big deal. Then he was at work one day and he got kicked in the back by a horse. So when I guess they say something fell off, his health fell off.
Okay. Yeah,
kick didn't cause too much damage, but he went to the hospital with back pain. And while they were treating him, they found out that he had testicular cancer.
Oh. I hate cancer.
He had to have multiple surgeries to remove a 3.5-inch tumor. He also went through chemo, but earlier this year he got the all clear. He still goes in for regular checkups, but the cancer is gone. So in the end, getting kicked by a horse actually saved his life. And that's why I gave it to you. That's it. And now a little something, something.
A little something, something.
A 59-year-old named Earl Jethro. Hey, I'm Earl Jethro.
Yeah, I bet he likes Gremlins.
Earl Jethro loves Gremlins. My favorite movie. Earl Jethro ordered a meal at Popeye's in New Orleans.
Yum.
And then he had some sort of issue with his condiments. We're guessing he wanted more and didn't want to pay for him, and he ultimately decided to handle the situation by chucking his chicken across the room, pulling a gun from his waistband, and pointing it at the manager.
Wow.
Luckily, no one was hurt, and Earl Jethro, he left, and he was arrested after cops found him causing a scene at a church's fried chicken across the street. According to the police report, he was wobbly on his feet and smelled like wine. No, that's your people.
That's my people.
He's facing two separate charges for aggravated assault with a firearm and disturbing the peace while drunk. Here's my question. What kind of condiments do you need with fried chicken anyway?
It's true, hey. Hey.
Come on, hey.
Come on, hey.
We'll take a break and come back with the Magic Audio Vault with Rob Spiewak right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hey. here he is.
Are you sick and tired of the same old dating scene? Dan O'Brien here to tell you
Dan.
We have the innovative app to help you find your true love. We call it TMOS Harmony, and we'll guarantee you'll find love with it. Pony matched with his sugar glider, Mac matched with himself, I matched with my tight shirt, and you can match with the TMOS bonus package. Who wants to swipe or click their way into love when all you have to do is listen to the TMOS bonus show? The TMOS bonus package. If it can help us pathetic interns find love, you'll be certain to find something you just can't ignore. This will
be made of promos.
www.mikeomarashow.com. It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
All right. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Too many elements. It's no secret if you need it. Target has it,
yes.
But who wants to fight the crowds, the lines, and the worst parking in town? So save yourself, Target.com, shop like a pro. It just says, so save yourself.
Yeah, save
Target.com.
That's right.
Shop like a pro from what?
Save yourself. It's Target.com,
so
shop like a pro.
Save yourself.
From the drama.
Target.com, shop like a pro from the comfort of your home.
Save yourself.
So save yourself by shopping at Target.com?
Exactly. Save yourself. Target.com.
No, it's not exactly.
Save yourself.
If I read it verbatim, it says, so save yourself. Target.com.
I'm sorry you're not feeling well, Mike.
That's not it, Rob. It's not right. It's not written right.
The copy is a little...
No, save yourself.
It's not written properly. Please don't do that. Please don't do that because then you spotlight it.
No.
So save yourself.
Save
yourself. All right, I'll fix it. I'm sorry. I didn't know that you didn't like that.
No. So save yourself. How would you read it?
I would say, so save yourself. Target.com.
Okay. All right.
So save yourself. That's how I intended it.
Target.com. Shop like a pro from the comfort of your home. Shopping makes it a breeze.
Just do it through our website.
Yeah, just go through our website.
For God's sake.
I don't want it to be a thing. I just wanted to have an excitement part of it. I heard it different in my head. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
It's tummy troubles.
No, it's
Target.
Not
and yeah, that's what it is.
It's
Target
not.
And TMOS. The key to a Merry Christmas. very good. Let's open up the audio ball. All right?
Please. Yes. Oh, it's big.
That's a big one.
Mike, you know what? I should have played this earlier, and it occurred to me when you were talking about him. Hanukkah is going till the... Oh, now it's closed.
Oh, darn it.
But if you were to open it again, I could play this
tape
for you.
That's tummy trouble right there.
Till Hanukkah is going till December 10th, and I thought it would be nice horrible, but that door is impenetrable.
Yes.
Still open. Happy Hanukkah to those
it's
who...
It's open, right? You can play
it's
the
open.
Sound.
It's open,
yes.
It's happy
open.
Hanukkah to... Oh, now it's closed. Now I can't play it.
That's okay, let's open it. Damn it.
Happy Hanukkah to those who observe.
Dreidel, 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 I made
Alan
it
Goodman.
Out of
there
clay.
He is.
And
just talking about his office
rain,
in his shower.
Then dreidel I will play. I don't know the rest of the words, but neither do you. You know nothing about Hanukkah, so here we go again. Hey, dreidel, 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 I made it out of clay. From me to you, have a happy holiday. Miss you guys. Sorry I'm not with you. Take care.
Hello, Alan.
Hello.
Columbus, Ohio. I think that's where he still is.
I believe so. And he's not retired. Still in the business, right?
Still, I think, being a GM somewhere.
That's cool.
And does he MPFG?
Make people feel good. I could use him here today. What a baby I'm being. Go ahead, please.
All right, ABC News. You know, everyone was carrying the funeral yesterday. Oh, it's a shame now the door is closed. But I can still discuss the clip.
I'm sorry.
ABC News took a weird sort of attitude at one point that I would call really disrespectful, not towards the late George Herbert Walker Bush, but for our current president. This was on ABC News yesterday.
And perhaps a recognition in terms of his involvement in the proceedings by President Trump that he someday will be getting a similar treatment when he passes as a former president of the United States.
Probably a different tone in that funeral.
Perhaps.
He's going to choreograph it,
no,
so there may be more trumpets.
No,
than,
okay,
than
I have to interject here. Okay. Look, everybody knows what my politics are. The whole point of this
is to not talk about
talking
that.
Talking head.
I know. Yes.
See,
I know.
You don't do that.
Don't editorialize.
He behaved a couple of times in the service, and everybody saw it. And it didn't need to be spoken about. I probably shouldn't have even mentioned it here,
right,
where everybody in that row was engaged and he was looking down and kind of drumming on his fingers. And it pissed me off. But it's the only moment. he will get the same kind of treatment because he is a president of the United States. Yeah, it might be a little bit of a different tone. No, he's got kids that are going to get up and say fantastic things about him. He will have friends that he has accumulated that will do that. Will it be identical? I wish we could get away. That's the whole point. The whole point is that you're not making the comparisons. You're honoring a fallen president, and it's a chance for us to be adults.
Well, they weren't adults. They were not adults on ABC. I just thought that was
frustrating. But with that said, and I just want to put this caveat in there, he helps the cause for the people that want to throw darts by looking down, drumming his fingers, not singing along, not singing along to the hymns,
not pretending to read,
not reading the creed, whatever. Yes. You know, he contributes to that. So don't be like that group.
Right.
And just pick the high road. It was such a moment where we could just get away from that.
You're also self-aware enough, though, Mike, at the beginning of the show that you did highlight that as well.
Yeah. And it was something where at the end of the day, Oscar, I came away from that service and I felt great about the country.
And I want it
so bad to go back to being like that. We'll talk about that on the political persuasion.
It needs to be said also that this show is not ABC News.
No,
it's not ABC News, and it was funny because he looked like a couple of times like a kid when he was drumming.
Yeah, of course, a little kid.
I'm so bored. I'd like to get out of here.
I know of all the people in the room, we all right now more than ever love Amazon.com. So when I saw this story, I knew I had to discuss it with you. Yesterday at one of the Amazon warehouses, a can of bear repellent was knocked off a shelf, and it busted open.
Bear spray.
This hospitalized 24 people.
Oh, my God.
But Amazon did not evacuate the building, though.
Why are we still working? It makes no sense. I get it. It's peak season, but you got to make it make sense. Our safety comes first.
But
being still in the building, that you're saying that it's a spray that knocks down beers.
We just seen a bunch of people walking by with masks and stuff on. So we were a little bit alarmed, and we were wondering what was going on. Somebody told us that bear mace went off, and we were wondering why, you know, they didn't evacuate the whole building. Because, you know, it's safety first.
Although I will say this, to credit Amazon, the 24 employees that were transported to the hospital, they did not charge them for shipping.
And I heard there's a rumor that the CEO is changing his name to Jeff Bezos.
That's your magic audio ball.
Thank you.
Have a great Thursday, everybody.
Thank you. Yes, Tubby, whatever. That's it. Another one in the can. Thanks for joining us for another riveting episode. All the way to the end. No off switch. If you have a message you'd like to hear in our Tuesday mailbag, send it to Rob with two B's at MikeOmeraShow.com. Remember, the TMOS bonus show makes a great gift even for yourself. Just go to MikeOmeraShow.com and click the banner that says gift bonus. It's easy as pie and just as tasty.
Hi.
Please support TMOS. For Oscar Santana and Rob Spiewak, this is Mike O'Mara thanking you for your continued amazing support for the best part of your day, the Mike O'Mara Show. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
This episode of the Mike O'Mara Show has been brought to you by the TMOS Shopping Center. Remember, especially during the holidays, the next time you need anything from Target, Walmart, or Macy's, make sure to shop online and access them through the banner at the top of MikeOmaraShow.com. Thank you, and happy holidays.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Okay.
That's a bingo.
Oh, you should see what it looks like from out here.